Let us all have a time to pray. Lord, we come to you as a congregation, people longing to hear your voice and follow your commands. Lord, we ask that you will let our hearts be sanctified as we bow down our heads. Lord, let your words be alive and mold our lives. I ask that you would use me as your messenger. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in front of you first. And may only your words become planted in our hearts. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It is my joy and a true honor to be here in front of you, in front of God, and the people of God, sharing God's words. I love technology, but there are times that it doesn't really work the way I think it does. But I also want to thank you for how you have greeted us and our family to be included in this great family called Rally Court United Methodist Church. It's been truly a blessing that I have been appointed here by God as your pastor, and it is an honor that I can join you in this faith journey. I would like to thank everyone welcoming our family to this new congregation, and I would like to thank you once more, express how overwhelmed we were and blessed as we start this new chapter of life together. Let's continue to learn how to truly love one another and see how God will work in our lives, growing us and molding us to be more like God's image. I'd like to also spare this time to introduce and thank my family. As we walk together in this journey, I want to thank my wife, Uri Kwon, who has been my favorite cheerleader and also a companion to this journey. And I also want to thank our two boys, Jin and Peter, who reminds me how I not only have to be a pastor, a father, but also a true disciple of Christ, because they evidently see what I do. I would also like to thank our family in Korea, who had always and constantly prayed for us. Especially, I want to thank and introduce our two, my parents-in-law, who came and joined us all the way from Korea to join this special moment. My father-in-law, who has become a mentor in ministry after I got married to Uri, has been a tremendous help and support. He has been praying for us every day. He was actually the founding pastor of Trinity Korean Methodist Church for 38 years, and he retired as a bishop of the Central Annual Conference of Korean Methodist Church. He had been happily married with Eunshin Park, who is my mother-in-law, and both of them have been the tremendous support. 감사합니다. Thank everybody who is sitting here and joining us in worship. Today I have been with the Seville class, and the moment I was there, everybody was so welcoming, but especially for the time when they sang together one of my favorite songs, "We are joined in the love, bond in the love of God. We are bond in the love of God. We are the Spirit and the Spirit of God. We are born in the dawn of God." This is how nervous I am. I can't even remember the song. But this community who has been here to support us, sitting and joining us in this special moment, and also for the ones who will be joining us in the recorded sermon, I just wanted to thank you and express how excited we are. But although I have, and we all have, these cloud of witnesses joining us together in this worship, I do have to tell you how frightened I am. And as I was writing this sermon, to be honest, I'm much more frightened than I thought that I would be. this is such a honor just to be standing here in front of God, just sharing God's words. It is such an honor, and also it is a fear that I have to express, being here as your pastor. Let us all face it. I might be the first color of pastor in many years of this church. I might be one of the youngest. I know that our founding pastor was way younger than I were, but one of the youngest that you had ever experienced. And I might be just frightened that this church is 99% Caucasian. And I'm not saying this in a bad way, just to frighten anybody, but just the fact that I'm here will make a lot of people uncomfortable. But I believe that this uncomfortable and the powerlessness that we have will be rightly known and used in the presence of God, and God will take control. So let us join this fear together. And as I was expressing this fear with one of my friends, this is what he said, and this is what my Caucasian friend said. Don't worry, you'll be okay at your appointment. As a matter of fact, you will feel just like at home, because in Caucasian, we always had an Asian in it. So I feel much more comfortable that you're laughing at my jokes. And I'm feeling pretty confident now, because God had commanded us to be strong and courageous, right? And in this world that is such a fearful world, I do have to say that we are prone to this fear. The fear is something that the uncertainty of this world brings. The uncertainty urges us to prepare and save for our future. However, does really these things bring safeness and security in our lives? It seems like the more we accumulate and the more we will be safe from the fear. Is that true? The fear that I have, that the uncertainty that I share might be the same uncertainty that you will have. But better insurance and retirement funds does not fear us from any kind of fear. We don't know when we will lose everything we have, including our security jobs and maybe sometimes our health. But as Christians, as we live in this fearful world, is that the right way we have to react to this fear? Christians too fear. The church might fear. The church might fear because we're not attaining any members and we're actually losing some. The church might be fearful because of the recent decision of the Supreme Court. The church, some of the Christians might be afraid of the split that have been under one religion. We all live in this kind of fear. But as Christians, I do have to tell you one thing. It is not about whether or not we become scared in front of the fear. I think it is more about how we react to this fear. As Christians, we will live in this world and we will face many difficulties and many scary moments. But it is the way that we react to this fear that lets our light shine in this world. And today I want to share something about that. As a matter of fact, fear is a product of the fall. I was wondering if you ever thought about that way. In the beginning, God had created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve was supposed to be obedient to God's word. It's not about what they did is the biggest fall. I think it is the disobedience that they had committed in front of God's command. But what is the result of that disobedience? The result, the immediate result of that disobedience is fear. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Disobedience and the fall created fear. And actually, this disobedience had continued on into this generation, and we have to admit that we live in a fearful world. This fear is something that happened because we were disconnected from God. When Adam and Eve was connected and we were in the shelter in the garden of Eden, they weren't fearful. But once they disobeyed and they became disconnected, they started to fear. So this brings up a question. Pastor, are you saying that I'm fearful because I'm disconnected with God? I'm not trying to say that. Because I believe that God is with us all the time. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we have to say amen for that. But there's a problem. We do become scared because we tend to focus onto the storm instead of God. Luke chapter 5 has a beautiful story about Jesus Christ and his disciples in one boat, coasting along the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, a storm comes and hits the boat. These fishermen, who have been lifetime sailors, had been so afraid they had to wake Jesus, who was sleeping on the head of the boat, and say, "Lord, Lord, how are you sleeping when we are about to be dead?" What does Jesus do? He stands up, he wakes up, and he commands the storm, saying, "Be calm." And the storm becomes calm. But it's significant what he says after he turns to his disciples. And it's actually written in Luke chapter 5, verse 25. Chapter 8, verse 25. It says, "Where is your faith?" This is what Jesus is saying. I am with you all the time. I have been with you in this boat. And even the storm had hit us, I can calm it with my words. But since I was always with you, I have to ask you this question. Where is your faith? The reason we are fearful of things that the world brings is not because God had departed us. The reason why we become scared of things is not because God had just kind of like vacant in the moment until we gather the strength to be courageous enough to face the fear. It's not that. God has always been with us. And God will always be with us. But the reason why we are fearful is because we tend to see the storm instead of seeing God who is always with us. We tend to focus onto the storm and the problems of our lives instead of seeing that God will always be with us and give us the strength to overcome those storms, calm those storms in our lives. So how do we remember that? That's what leads us to the next story of Joshua. Like I said, this appointment was quite a fearful appointment for our family. We never thought that we will be in Roanoke. I was ordained in Virginia on a conference, but we thought that we would be more situated in Northern Virginia. And as a matter of fact, there were a couple of churches that we were projecting to be in. Now all of a sudden our DS calls in and says, "Hey, I need to pass you on to this phone with the district superintendent of Roanoke," and boom, that happened. It shifted our lives, and we are here, but we are very fearful. I think this fear doesn't only remain in our family. I think the fear remains same in our congregation as well. When you first heard that a Korean pastor is going to be appointed to this church, how many of you were not fearful? Some of you might have thought, "Can I understand his English? Would I be able to really relate with him? Would I really be able to talk with him? Would I really be able to share the thoughts that I had with the previous pastors that had been here?" Despite of all our fears, as we enter into this next journey, let us remind ourselves of this story of Joshua. That is the reason why I'm sharing this. Joshua, as you all know, has been the next leader for the Israelites. After they have been through the 40 years of wilderness, they're about to enter into the promised land, a promise that God had gave Moses a couple hundred years ago. with Joshua, thinking of all the weight that he has to carry, the responsibility that he might have to carry, I think he would have been pretty scared. So he's there, knowing that Moses will not be here, and this is his time to step up as a leader and fulfill God's promise. That is when God gives this word to Joshua. I'm not saying that Joshua is a coward, because Joshua has always been the brave one. If you remember, Joshua was actually in the forefront of the battle of Amalekite. And he was there just winning and winning and winning whenever Moses put his hands on. Whenever Moses put his hands down, he'd be losing and being defeated. But he was the one always in the front. He was the one who spied into the promised land. And when 12 of them went and spied, 10 of them said, "No, we cannot get into that land." He and Caleb were the only ones brave enough to say, "Yes, that is the land that God gave us." So he's a pretty brave person. But in front of this storm, in front of this responsibility, he was afraid. And that is when God gives him his promise. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Isn't that significant that God commands that word three times? Remember that from Peter denying Jesus three times, and Jesus coming back to Peter and saying, "Peter, do you really love me? Peter, do you really love me? And Peter, do you really love me?" God wanted this to cement in Joshua's heart, knowing that he is commanded to be strong and courageous. And out of these three commands that God had gave Joshua, I believe there is an antidote for us as Christians to overcome fear. And let me just share a couple of those antidotes. The first one, when it says in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them." What God is doing right now is, number one, God is reminding and making Joshua remember how faithful God is. God is a faithful God. God has always been with us. God is always with us. And God will always be with us. And God is fulfilling God's promise that God had promised Abraham. It has been a promise that has been made a couple hundred years before, but God is still faithful. That God is saying that I will give you this land. How many times have we experienced the faithfulness of God? God has been encountered in your life. God has been working in your life. And we know that God will do it. But so many times we become fearful. So what does God say whenever we face that fear? Be strong and courageous. I will give you this land. Be strong and courageous. I will give you the strength to overcome the difficulties that you have. Be strong and courageous. I will help you, and I will be with you, whatever it takes. And what is he saying? Because I have always been there with you. And I was always overcome that with you. So we have to be strong and courageous. The second command, what God has said is, to remember and remind of who we are. This is what it says in verse 7 and 8. "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful." Now, what God is saying is, be strong and courageous, but at the same time, what you need to do is you need to meditate on the word that I gave you day and night. Okay, is this another cliche that a pastor says, okay, in order for you to remember, you need to read the Bible? I'm not saying it is a cliche that we need to read the Bible, but at the same time, I do want to encourage you to daily commit yourself in the Word. In the bottom of the bulletin, you'll see a daily scripture reading that we are going to start. And I just wanted to encourage you to read according to it. This week, I had selected a couple passages that shows how God had chose Joshua. It will be a big help for you to remind yourself of his sermon. But I'm not trying to go back and tell you that you need to read the Bible. I want to tell you why God is asking us to read the Bible. It is about reminding ourselves of our identity. Bible is a story that comes with redemption, that God has loved us so much, he sent his one and only son, that we will live in eternity with God. And we are so loved as God's daughters and sons. And if we do not meditate on the word daily, don't we forget it so often. And in the way God commanding us to be strong and courageous in front of the fear that we face, God keeps us asking us, commanding us to read the scripture and remain in his presence. It's like Simba sitting up on the field and seeing his father saying, Simba, remember who you are. And I hope that you remember who you are to be strong and courageous. The third point would be this. Verse 9, God once and last commands Joshua, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with us, and that is one thing that we should not forget. Because God is with us, we will overcome all our fears. But how do we do that? I just wanted to share a story of a Korean pastor, and I want to end the message. There is this holiness pastor called Sungbong Lee, and he was a great revivalist. He was going around the world, going around Korea, the country, and sharing God's word. But there was a thing that was very notable of this pastor. Whenever he went, he had a Bible in his right hand, but he had his left fist like this. He would not open it. He always had it closed. So people will ask him, Pastor, what do you have in your hand? Some people thought he was crippled, that he could not open his hand. But evidently, when he was preaching, there were some times that when you opened it, but every other time that people see him walking around, he will have his left fist closed. So they asked him, is there a meaning in it? And this is what he answered. I am holding on to the hand of Jesus Christ, who is always with me. I'm not asking you to close your fist every time you move around or wherever you go. But I hope that this will be a good reminder that when we grab onto the hands of Jesus Christ, we will know that Christ has always been with us and always be with us wherever we go. So disciples of Christ and new family in Christ, when Jesus Christ asked us in front of the storm, where is your faith? Let us remember this verse from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And whenever you face a storm, hold on to that right hand. That faith will help us overcome. May we all be strong and courageous as we walk to this journey together. Praise be to the Lord.